I'm taking a break from some ride share. Always have good conversations. It's all actually maybe not every rider has a good conversation, but I do have. If I do enough rides, I have some good conversation. Picked up somebody from France, some college kids. Who else? I had to sit down and later on and just think about the conversations because there's so many things that people talk about. It's pretty wild. It's really healthy, to be honest with you. It's really healthy. Some of them are not healthy. Some conversations on the rideshare are just ridiculous. People are so selfish. But most people are thankful. Appreciate the ride. Appreciate the conversation. I got this about a month ago, a month or two ago, this one ride. She just sent me a text. She asked for my phone number. Because what happened was, I was telling her about how everything is the now. And everything is, it's all happening now, you know, and you have to go within and you have to be willing to do the inner work. Because she said, we were talking and I started about it. To be honest with you, I said, this is a hologram, everything is the now. She said, wait a minute. She said, are you a guru? I said, if you want to call me that, she said, I said, why do you ask? She said, you sound just like one of the gurus my mom or somebody went to or goes to or whatever. She said, can I have your phone number? I said, yeah. I said, what's going on with you? She said, what did she say? It's been a while. I'm struggling with this. And so then I did text her. It's been about 2 months. I did text her back and forth. But every time I text her, I said, you got to do the work. You got to look. You got to pay attention to your thoughts. Be self-aware. I'm afraid to do that. I'm afraid. And almost every conversation is, I'm afraid to look at myself. I said, because I told her, I said, you're just afraid to face something. And she admits it, you know. And I just got a text, and it said, what did the text say? It said something like, you know, hello, how are you? I said, hey, how's it going? I'm struggling with, let's see if I can pull that text. I'm going to pull over, because I'm not trying to expose or anything. I'm just using this as an option. She'll make it through. She'll make it through. I think she's got a good family, but she's a different religion, and so I just try to help her if I can, but yeah, people have to get there themselves. But I'm not exposing anybody. This is an object lesson. I won't go into. It says I've been busy with her country's holidays. Struggling to stay calm and aware, struggling to have patience and not get frustrated. And I told her, I said, go for a walk and get you some different food, you know. Try something new, try some different food or something. Anyway. She found out I wasn't a guru. I was just a Bible believer who did a lot of inner work and meditation, contemplation, and she's not. See, some people are not ready. They're not ready to say, "Hey, it's me, oh Lord. It's me, oh Lord." Standing in need of prayer. I can't blame my mama, my daddy, my sister, my brother. I can't blame anybody else but myself. You know. And most people don't want to look at their thoughts, don't want to look at their things they need to face. You know, there's like ghosts in the closet that they don't want to look at. They can't handle it. It'd probably kill them, I guess. If they had to look at themselves, they'd probably jump off the bridge or something. But having these conversations while I'm doing the ride share, you do talk to some people. The guy from France, he was amazed of how green. I mean, I'm in the city and there's still trees all over the place. He said, I can't believe all this greenery, shrubbery. So there's a lot of conversations and there's a lot of people at different levels, but the ultimate level is you're going around the circuit. You're going around your daily silly circuit. And if you're not self-aware, the circuit, the universe is actually, this guy about ran into somebody. The universe is actually your university. The universe is your university, and it's a feedback loop. It's a feedback loop. You're in a machine. But it's a machine for your heart. It's a machine for your heart. And so we all tend to get hard hearts. And this text that came in, because something happened this week to kind of make me realize I had a hard heart. I didn't know it. And so this text that came in, I feel sorry for her, because it's probably a hard heart. Because when I picked her up, I remember picking her up, talking to her on the way. I dropped her off at a concert. And her mom's one of these conservative religious types, some whatever religion it is. And I really think that she's probably dealing with some kind of legalistic guilt from her religion. And she's probably rebelling. And she's probably going to the bars and partying and chasing this guy or that guy. And you know, the Bible says, whoredom wine and new wine take away the heart, you know. So she's probably doing things that's against her religion. But deep down, it's against the soul. Whoredom, wine, and new wine take away the heart. Now, well, let me explain that. They're going outside their marriage, doing stuff. They're getting drunk. Whoredom, wine, and new wine take away the heart. So what happens when you get drunk? I've been drunk when I was in college. I've been drunk. You don't think right. You're out of your mind. You're not in control. Your inhibitions, or whatever you want to call, whatever, however you say that, are gone. I had to look that word up. It's been a long time since I thought about that word. I don't know if it means, let me see if I can decode it while I'm thinking about inhibition. But you know what I'm talking about. I'll look it up later. I haven't used that word in 30 years. I don't know if it means they're, but you know what I'm saying. They have nothing to restrain them, so they're just doing whatever. Whoredom, wine, and new wine take away a heart. Because what's happening is you got that convicting voice, that Holy Spirit conviction, to say, hey, don't do that. And it's not that God's trying to take away your joy. He's trying to keep you in joy. Because once you start to go down a path of drinking, drugging, running the streets, you get a hard heart, and it's such a slow thing, you don't even know what's happening. And it takes some kind of supernatural event a lot of times, or a person to show up back in your life to say something, unless you're reading your Bible every day and reading the right and just going through it, because God's word will speak to you. But it usually takes a person to show up on the scene, you know, to break your heart or break it back down or whatever. So if you have a broken heart, praise God. If your heart is broken, praise God, because he didn't let you go down the path of a hard heart. And it don't just happen once. It happens multiple times. You know, check this out. A lot of people would say, why are you watching that? Why are you watching that? But let me tell you why I watch this, what I'm going to tell you. I like to watch the Bounty Hunter D show. He catches cheaters. And the reason I like to watch it is because him and his wife are actually trying to help people. But they might get on there and want to act like they're going to fight and curse and say, I catch cheaters, you MFer, and you've been exposed, you've been caught. Sometimes a heart is so hard, it needs that. It's kind of like a drill sergeant. Sometimes a person's heart is so hard that they need somebody to look them in the face and say, you're a blah, 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 blah. Get it. Quit doing it. Look, are you hurt? You know, and the questions, they'll do these questions on the lie detector test. I don't even know if it's real. But they do the research. They know the person's cheating because they follow around and do the investigation before the lie detector. And they do the lie detector test before they show that. So these lie detector test questions are saying like, okay, so you love this person? Yeah, I love her. Yeah, I love her. Would you do anything to hurt her? No, I wouldn't do anything to her. Are you talking to somebody else? I mean, if y'all are together and y'all are a thing, why are you talking to somebody else? I don't. And then he'll do the lie detector test and ask these questions. And a lot of times they start to squirm and get up and won't finish the test. And so, okay, so you're in a relationship with this woman. You've been in that relationship. Who are you talking to? And they'll ask questions. Are you talking to somebody else besides her? No. And they start, and every time they ask a question, you can just see they get a little bit nervous, you know. One guy was in the room, it was 70 degrees, they said, and he was sweating like a sweating bullet, you know. And then they'll bring in the two parties that they're cheating on with, and they're all mad and say, why are you, I knew you were cheating, I knew you were lying. So what's my point? My point is, the hard-hearted cheaters need to be told face-to-face what they are. The ones who are being cheated on wanted to believe the lie and expected perfection too, but they should have known. They probably got with them because they were cheating. But my point is, they need to have a broken heart too, probably. So both parties might have a broken heart if the cheater doesn't repent and he just goes find somebody else and does it again and again. Too bad, that's their choice. But the ones who got cheated on get a broken heart, right? That's okay. Actually, you're healing. You're leaving the fake realm. You're leaving the fake reality. Like I heard it on the public, I got the public radio on right now, and they were talking about the war in Israel. And he said, you know, we need to leave the monkey mindset and move to an enlightened mindset. This was on public radio. And what he's saying is that old reptilian nature is there. It's in everybody. And so if you have to have a broken heart to see that in yourself, because, you know, they might be mad at the cheater, but deep down in their heart somewhere, they're just as guilty, you know. But he'll ask questions like, he says, me and my wife, you know, we do this to catch cheaters, but we also practice it. He said, we ask you questions like, would you do anything to hurt? Would you talk to any woman that hurts your wife without her knowing it? Are you seeing anybody or talking to anybody romantically that would hurt them if they knew about it? And so these questions are questions to show them, hey, so you say you love this person, but do you do stuff that would hurt? If they found out, it would hurt them. Right? He'll say it many times. He'll say, me and my wife, if we think that this is going to hurt the other person, he said, we might argue. We might disagree. But we argue in a nice way, you know. He said, everybody's going to have a disagreement, but we work it out. And we're willing to admit when we're wrong, if we were wrong, you know. And so my point is, whether it's Dr. Phil, whether it's the Bounty Hunter D show, you know, I mean, he's not a professional, but he's really hitting people where they need to be hit, you know. And if these people call him and say, hey, I think my spouse is cheating, can we check it? And they have a right to be, if somebody's suspicious, they have a right to question it, you know. Long story short, the people in your life, or if person that shows up and kind of forces you to have a soft heart and face yourself, these people are really your best friend, because they hold you accountable. And if you got somebody like that, praise God. But back to what I was, I kind of skipped around, scatterbrained a little bit, but I'm not really scatterbrained. I'm just trying to make two or three points at once. So when she sent me a text, on the one hand, it's like, I'm tired of telling you the same thing every time. I've already told you that you got to go and pay attention to you, be self-aware of your heart, your thoughts, your mind, what you're thinking, what you're doing. And she just, I'm not ready yet. Okay, well, don't text me. Don't text me unless you got some progress. You know, I want to see your progress. But then when you have a soft heart, you're patient with people, because you know everybody's going through that struggle. Okay, so she don't want to face herself. Okay, that might be somebody listening. So you don't want to face yourself. When are you going to face yourself? When's it going to happen? When are you going to look at yourself in the mirror? Are you going to wait till you're 60, 70, 80? You're going to live your whole life in anger and bitterness and no peace and no direction in life and no love for people, just suspicious. The reason people, a lot of times people are suspicious because they've been doing stuff they shouldn't do, you know. I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to get hurt again. We'll have an open dialogue. Not everybody's the same. Open communication. Talk about everything. Who cares if you talk about your fears or your worries, or maybe you need to talk about them. Well, I need to go to a counselor today. Why? If it's going to be somebody you're going to be with, talk to them about it, you know. They already know anyway. You just don't think they know. They're waiting for you to wake up. But you don't want to wake up because you're going to live in delusion land. But anyway, if you had a broken heart, praise God. If you have a soft heart, praise God. If God is changing you, hallelujah. Almost everybody around you has either a hard heart, or they've had one, or they're trying to get back to normal. And, I mean, you could flat out tell them, hey, okay, if whoredom wine and new wine take away the heart, and you look at all the other things in Galatians 5:19 that take away the heart. If you'd read Galatians 5:19, 20, 21, it leads to murder, right? So the greed, the sorcery, the witchcraft, the anger, the envy, the revenge, all the things in Galatians 5:19, 20, 21, those things take away your heart. Instead of going all the way down to the very bottom, which leads to murder, why not go ahead and get it right now instead of going to that depth of misery and get right now, and then let God break the heart And then you step into Galatians 5:22 and you have love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. You know, the Bible's telling you everything you need to know. All the things in Galatians 5:19, 20, 21 will break your heart. Whoredom, wine, and new wine will break your heart. Whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, whether it's some kind of, see, the reason people take what, Valium, Xanax, because they're not wanting to look within. She keeps texting me every week. She's still struggling. I just, pay attention to your thoughts, your heart. Look inside. What are you doing? You can't, and she's not a person that's blaming other people. She's admitting it's her. But most people blame other people. But the Bible's trying to break your heart, give you a soft heart, so you get right with Him, you know. But there's a lot of people out there, like I say, some of them cheaters, they're not going to change. They've sold their soul to their own hard heart. And they're not going to change. And you better stay away from those people, because if God Himself stood out in front of them, they'd still curse God and say, I'm okay. I don't need a transformation. I'm okay. Even if God Almighty, and He tells you in His Word, but even if God Almighty just showed up and said, you have a hard heart, and I'm going to break it, they'd still scream and yell at God, you know. So if some human minister, male or female or angel or whatever, comes up and says, hey, you might have a hard heart. Well, you got a hard heart. The reason I got a hard heart is because of you, or something like that. Say, okay. All right. I'll pray and just wait for it to get broken. Because it will get broken if they're serious. If not, they'll just keep texting. I'm struggling. Every week they'll still be in the same struggle, and you'll be shaking your head thinking, I gave you the answer, but you don't really want the answer. You love your, they people. We love the darkness until we get tired of darkness and cry out to God, you know. Bible says they love darkness. If they would just run to the light, they'd have peace and joy and love and truth and meekness, and they could be faithful to their spouse. They could be faithful to their Creator in the heart. Nobody's perfect, don't get me wrong. But when you start to get a hard heart, it has to be broken. You have to have some pain. You have to have some little bit of trouble to break that. But a lot of people think they're the one that can heal the other person's heart. Like Bounty Hunter D can yell at those. It could be the man or the woman cheater. He can, you're a no good blah 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 cheater for the streets and blah 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 and F and blah 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 and MF this and F this, and yell all the curse words that he can think of, but they're not going to change until God breaks their heart. What he's trying to do is get these hard-hearted people to look in the mirror, but they never seem to look in the mirror. And they keep that process until their deathbed. I've seen two people on their deathbed. They died at 50 because they drank themselves to death. On their deathbed, they cried out to God. So they wasted all those years in bitterness and misery because they wouldn't just go to God. They waited till they were about to die to get saved, you know. Sad.